So we're having a conversation about the glory of God, glory, and we're having a conversation particularly about how to glorify God. We're having that conversation based on this thought that our spiritual forefathers said that the chief end of man, that is, when they looked at the scriptures and they thought about what the big deal was, if you will, for us to find purpose and why on the earth we're still here, if you will. Or to say it like Jackie used to say it, why didn't God just kill me as soon as he saved me? Then I wouldn't have to put up with none of this. Or why didn't he make me perfect when he saved me? Then I wouldn't have to, you know, all those different options. That the chief end of man, that is the purpose or the thing that gives life meaning, let me say it that way as a very practical way to say it, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so we've been unpacking what it means to glorify God, and we're tackling some scripture. We saw that in this kind of a background scripture, which I'm going to try to maybe use every week, a couple of these background scriptures, is that we realize that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, right? That is, if God's purpose was for us to glorify him, if glorifying him would give us meaning, if glorifying him was what he purposed for us, then sin is actually just not doing that or missing that mark, if you will. We've fallen short of that mark, which is to glorify God. And so, and then we see these verses like it says, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, glorify God. In other words, when you're glorifying God, you actually are doing something that has meaning. You're actually hitting the mark. You're actually living out, if you will, the fullness of God. So we're going to see as we unpack this for a minute, and we're going to see that there's glory. God is glorified in suffering. God is glorified in victory. He's just as glorified in me getting fired. I mean, whatever. And you know what I mean? He's just, let's use laid off. He's just as glorified in me being laid off as he is in me getting a raise. He's just as glorified in me getting a new house as he is in my house being taken away by a tornado. And because he's not glorified in any of those things in and of themselves. He's glorified when me and you hit the mark in those things. When those things happen to us, if we glorify God in our suffering, if we glorify God in our trial, if we glorify God in our victories, if we glorify God in our this, that's hitting the mark. And what does it mean then to glorify God? And so I'm going to use a passage today that's what I would call one of those big umbrella passages. And I'm trying to hit some umbrella thoughts before we hunker down on specifics, which we'll get to those. And if the Lord continues pushing us along this direction. This is really helpful to me, and so I hope it's helpful to you. Because these are the things I think that really give people meaning, right, and purpose. And you want to get up and say, am I doing something that's worth something? Right? And I went to work today, and I did this, and I did that, and I did the drill. And did that glorify God? Meaning, did it make any difference? Was it meaningful? Was it what God intended? You don't know how many times people have come up to me and said, well, you know, I have an opportunity to take another job. I don't know if it will glorify God. I'm like, well, take it and see. You know, I don't know. Or don't take it and see. I don't care. You know, that was the whole deal with casting lots. I mean, if you weren't sinning, you could go either way. And Jesus literally, you know what the casting lots was, right? They put it on the priest's vest. It was a black and a white dice. Heads you win, tails, you know, I mean, flip a coin. Don't matter. You know, we're messed up about, like, trying to figure out if we've got it all right when the question is, should I take the job or not? there's once you've got the underlying things worked out that are important and that are principally important, and once those things are worked out, and it turns out still that you're good either way, then flip a coin. Ask the Lord to tell you in the coin what the right way to go is. And oh, by the way, there's a lot of scriptural evidence that that's a cool way to do it. If you want, I can do that sermon later. Okay. So I'm going to do you this. I'm going to do this overview verse. I'm going to do this overview passage. Just three verses, and it's just good stuff. But it ends and it talks a lot about the glory of God in the end. And it's simple, but it's profound. And so let's get to it. It's in 1 Peter. Go to the 1 Peter passage there. Yeah. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Let me just tell you, I don't like the word minister. It is a word. It's an Italian word or Latin word. Italian. it's a Latin kind of construct of a word that's way more simple and way more practical, and that we get a lot better. And it's the word is serve. So let me read it to you the way it would be in the Greek. It's the same word that the word deacon came from, if you want to use the Greek. The Greek word's deacon, Latin word's minister, but the real word is serve. Here's the word. That's the English word. So I'm going to read it in English. As each one has received a gift, serve each other with it. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, go back. I want to unpack this verse a little bit. And we're going to move fairly quickly through these and then go back and kind of make the big picture. But I don't want you to miss what's happening in this verse. So God said that we received a gift by his manifold grace. Now, manifold means it's variegated, which variegated means there's a lot of different ways that he can gift us, right? But God says that each of us has received a gift. And God says, and if the first thing that came to your mind is, but I don't know what my spiritual gift is, you've missed the point of this text. This text isn't trying to do that. This text is saying if you're a believer, God is gifting you. And God is gifting you for a purpose that you would serve each other with the gifts that he's giving you. So who did we receive the gift from? We received the gift from God. Why did we receive the gift from God? That is, what was it about us that would make us God give us a gift? Yeah, well, okay, because he knew that somebody else would need the gift. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, that's the reason, but there wasn't anything in me. In other words, the manifold grace of God means that I didn't earn the gift. There wasn't any reason that God should have given me the gift. He didn't look at me and say, oh, you know, short and chubby guys, they can teach well. So you're short and chubby, so I'm going to give you the gift of teaching. That wasn't how it worked at all. Nor did he say, oh, you know what, man? I'm just telling you, you know, you got a lot, you know. I mean, he gave us gifts based on the manifold grace of God, period. In other words, I saw when this fellowship formed itself that it was going to need administration. And so I, based on my grace, picked somebody out in the room that I was going to particularly gift in that area. And then they're going to serve these saints with that gift so that things will be organized. You see how that works? So God never gives you a gift for? Yes, he gives you always a gift for? Someone else. So let's see that. And so what God says is that I'm supposed to steward that gift. That is, I'm supposed to serve you with that gift, and that's how I'm a steward of the gift. Does that make sense? And you go back to the parable of the talents. You remember that? The guy had five talents, and he used all five talents. He was a good steward of the five gifts, and he did that, and it bore the fruit that God had designed for it to bear. And the guy that had 10 talents, he served his people with those 10 talents. And then the guy that had one talent, God had given him something that he was supposed to serve people with, and he didn't do it. And so what did God say about that guy? Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, in case you didn't remember, you're going to hell was the answer. So here's what God says. I'm the God. You're my people. As you're moving around one another, stuff needs to be done. You need to be cared for. You need to be loved. You need to be accepted. You need to be encouraged. You need to be taught. You need to be served. You need to be helped. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to move amongst you, and I'm going to distribute them. This is Corinthians 12, according to however I feel like it. I'm the God. It says that he distributes them according to his will, right? And he just does it according to how he wills. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to, based on what the group needs, I'm going to give it to the group through the people. And what I expect you to do when I give you something for someone else is to actually give it to them. So this would be like, I'll do it in money because money's easy. So I'm going to, God gives Brad $100, and I need $100. And so God knows I needed $100, so he gave it to Brett to give to me. But Brett keeps it. So he didn't steward the gift, right? Because he served himself with the gift. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's how it works. See me after service. Okay, and then he begins to give. Then he gives an example, and then goes back to the big picture. And let's look at the example that he gives. Next verse. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, the oracles of God, and this isn't the first time this passage is used. It's used in other places. It's used in Romans when it was, the question was asked in Romans 3, what did the Israelites, did Israelites have anything on the Gentiles? And Paul said, well, of course we do. Are you kidding me? We had the oracles of God. They didn't. I mean, we had all the stories. This was our story. We had the law. We had the covenants. This is us, man. This is our religion. You kidding me? And so he said, the oracles of God was all of the things that that God had said to his people through the who? Prophets, and through his actions and all that kind of stuff. And so he says, here's the deal. If any of you speak as if it were God speaking to the people. That's scary. Here's what does it presuppose, though? That it was God who was wanting to speak to the people, and that all he was doing was giving you the gift to give to the people, and it's your only being a steward by giving the gift that God gave to you to give to the people. Right? You follow that? Okay. So he says, and if anyone serves, there's that word again, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Who supplies the ability for service? Okay, so God supplies the ability and what you needed, right? So he supplies the gift and the ability to use the gift. You follow that? And he says, so here's the deal. When somebody needs something, what I want you to do is I want you to give it to them, and I'm going to give it to you to give to them, and I'm not only going to give it to you to give to them, but I'm going to give you the ability to give it to them. So the ability in mine and Brett's case is the willingness, if you will, to not hold on to what God has told him to give me and to give it to me instead. Or the power to do it, if you will. So the next verse goes like this. And then here's the glory verse. I don't want you to miss what's happening. That, if that happens, in all things. So I want you to see how simple that passage was and how profound it was and how God says that if that's happening in the life of believers, in all things, God is being glorified through Jesus Christ. to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here's what he's saying. God is being glorified through Jesus if you're serving people with whatever he gave you to serve them with, and including the ability to serve them. Does that make sense? All right. So, and God is glorified through Jesus when you're doing that. So you can ask yourself, well, how can I glorify God? And the answer is what? Serve people with the gifts that God gives me and the ability that he gives me to serve it with them. Right? So I remember I was talking to a group of saints one time, and they're like, you know, I mean, we were talking about CrossFit and stuff. It was a decade ago or something. And they're like, you know, but we're telling them our race stories, you know. Yeah, but, you know, it just doesn't seem practical to me. You know, I mean, like, Ray's not going to get sent to my office, you know. How do I do it? And I just said, okay, well, you have... Here's two things that God's given you, gifts that he's given you. He's given you affluence and influence. And you can serve people with your influence. As a matter of fact, God said to take your influence and speak up for those who have no voice, didn't he? And he said, not only will I give you influence so that you can serve people who have no influence, but I'll give you the power to do it and the ability to do it. Wow, there's a gift that God gave me that I can use for his glory. You see what I mean? It's just simple. And when you think about all these different things and all these different ways, and it may be hard for you to unpack because our brain is so kind of ministry-oriented. You know, we're thinking about, I just don't know, does that mean I should have the gift of handing out bulletins? You know, I mean, sometimes it's hard for us to get our head around what God is saying. But what I mean is that when God gives you an ability and a gift, gifts you to do something, and he's specific about our gifts. I mean, and one of my favorite gifts in all of the Bible is the gift of helps. Because it's nebulous and it's fairly generic and it's... And it has a lot to do with cleaning bathrooms and emptying trash cans and wiping up after children and changing diapers. It just has to do with that type of stuff, you know. And by the way, all that stuff has to be done, doesn't it? And so there are people that just walk in the room and they just want to help. I just love the generic version of that word. It just has nothing, it has no connection except they just want to help. And so they walk in the room, they want to help, and without any question, somebody will say, hey, man, you know, I'm moving this table. Can you help? And as a matter of fact, I walked in the room with the gift of help. And I'm trying to say that where you can kind of hear it being spiritualized, but where you can hear it being very just practical and real at the same time. You see what I'm saying? And they showed up, and God knew that a table needed to be moved, or coffee needed to be made, or you know, whatever it was needed to be done. And they showed up with a gift. This kind of desire to help, if you will. So somebody says, hey, I need a hand. And so, well, they're just running right over there. And when they get there, they have the ability to do it. And God's glorified. It's as big as you can think of it. And it's as little as you can think of it, this whole thing is of glorifying God. And the reason that I'm using a lot of little examples is because that's where we kind of get bogged down. We hear in everything you do, glorify God, whether it's in your word and your deed. And we think that that means that we have a buddy that we named him Glory to God. And he's down in Tupelo. And when you talk to him, the end of every sentence is glory to God. Sometimes the first of every sentence and the end also. You know, we love him, but his nickname to us is Glory to God. I actually don't even remember his name. Brett does. He's a good name guy. But I say, what's Glory to God's number? And he'll send me his number, and I'll call him. But it's not that. It's not that, even though that guy glorifies God, don't get me wrong. And I don't think that even saying glory to God isn't not glorifying God, right? That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm trying to say is that it's big and it's profound and it's wonderful, but because what you're doing is that you're recognizing when you help that it was God who gifted you by his grace to be able to help. And you're recognizing that when you help, all you're doing is stewarding the gift that God gave you by helping. And what you're doing is you're not, here's where the rub comes, maybe. So then, you know, after a couple weeks, one of the deacons comes over and he says, I've been watching you. You're the helpinest thing I ever saw. And you're just a blessing. And what happens is that, you know, here's how you know if you did it to glorify God. If your head begins to swell, right, and you begin to say, well, I'm accepted by the community here based on my helping. Therefore, next week, oh boy, you watch what I come with next week. You thought I helped last week? I'll make up things to do. And you've missed it, right? Because you've then glorified who? Exactly. Because there's this disinterest, if you will, when somebody comes up and says, oh, I just noticed that you've been helping and all that kind of stuff. You look at them almost bewildered, like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Or if you are aware that God gives you the gift, you can say, yeah, man, I don't know what it is. God, by his grace, has just made me want to help. And he's given me the ability to do it, and I'm just stewarding his gift. Does that make sense? And so what happens is God is glorified because we, and I said this last week, I led up to this, is that we're just our being who he has made us to be. And responding, spiritually responding, if you will, to the grace that he is giving us in time and being and stewarding it properly by giving it away. Does that make sense? So I thought about this the other day. I thought that in counseling, one of the gifts that God just really has to pour out on his people is courage. Because many times in order to trust again, in order to love again, in order to just see a, just feel like that your head's out of the water, you have to face some horrible realities. And it takes courage to do that. That's on one hand. On the other hand, you know, we're led into a lot of sin. If it weren't the lust of our flesh, it's the lust of the world and the pride. You know, everything around us is drawing us, if you will, into trouble, away from who we are in Christ Jesus, away from our spiritual identity, away from the person that God has made us to be in Christ, imaging the Lord Jesus, right? And so what happens is it takes courage to stand there and resist the devil so that he will flee from us. Right? And God has to, by his grace, gift me that, or that ain't going to happen. Now, he promises it, right? All the promises of God, you have divine, you know, you're participators of the divine nature, and all the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus, and he promises that if there's any temptation, he'll provide for you a way out. He promises it, but it still shows up in real life, and you have to do it. And we think back to our champion, our hero, and when he, the great dragon, showed up in the desert and for 40 days troubled him day and night. And he was weakened without sleep and without food and without water. And all of his physical capabilities, and you know, man, go a couple days without eating and you're grouchy. They call it hangry. And he's sitting there and the weakest that you could possibly be from a physical perspective, and being assaulted with the most voracious things that you could assault a man with in his exact position. The devil knew exactly where he was and exactly what to hit him with at his exact weakness. And Jesus, like the Lion of Judah, stood and defeated him and didn't do it. And Jesus would say that, and all he did was what? He fought those battles as a human, didn't he? Not as God. He fought them as the man Christ Jesus. And what did he use? He used the Word of God and the Spirit of God, which had descended on him after his baptism and remained, right? And he fought the devil. As a matter of fact, right after the Spirit had descended on him, that same Spirit, the Bible says, led him into the desert for this fight. And he was there. And he stood there courageous. Listen. And that exact same Spirit, not a different Spirit, is in you. And not only has Christ already won the victory. And by the way, that dragon showed up in the hour of his temptation before the cross too, didn't he? He was all around the place. He entered Judas and he was over here with these guys and he was everywhere trying again. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil, and he did it. And all I'm trying to say is that we are God's people. We have inherited by grace the promises of God, meaning that through nothing in us, when God chose his people before the foundation of the world, decided that he was going to die for them and redeem them, he also decided that he would give them the Holy Spirit as their inheritance and a seal to their salvation, and that he would work out this dragon-slaying reality that he had accomplished and borne the first fruit of in their life day by day. And so God gifts you with what you need when you need it. So you can't ever say when you stumble as a believer that God made me stumble, James 1. Because God's promise is to the believer that he'll always provide for you two things, a way out and the ability to get out. The courage and the strength to do it. And that when you're struggling to love again and struggling to trust again when your trust has been broken and struggling to survive when all the air feels like that it's gone out of the room and you're so afraid, God will give you a spirit of a sound mind He will help you. He will help you. Because that's what he does. He gives us gifts that we need. He will send somebody. He will give somebody a gift of encouragement to come and encourage you. He will give somebody a gift of acceptance to come and accept you when you didn't think you were acceptable. He'll all these different things God will do for his people. He just works that out amongst his people. And you're glorifying God by receiving the gift and using it for your brother and sister. And many times the counselor is really in the room in real time being gifted by God and giving the gift and gifted by God and giving the gift and gifted by God and giving the gift. And what I'm trying to say is the counselor, we're, you know, one of our visions with our counseling ministry in the future is to not sterilize it and keep it between a couple guys who are good at it, but to teach everybody how to do it so that we're all being able to care for each other's souls and give out these gifts to each other, those particular ones. So that's it. That one of the things that gives your life meaning is showing up and serving people. Serving people with something that God gave you that you didn't earn and you didn't deserve, and giving it to them, serving them with it. And he says that I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to give the ability to give it to them. And when you do that, suddenly your life feels like it has meaning. Doesn't it? Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for what God did in Christ to serve me. And I'm thankful for what God is doing in Christ by His Spirit day by day as we serve one another in love. And as we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and as God images Himself into us and onto us so that we, His people, can glorify Him in our words and our deeds and in all of the things that we do. Thank you for giving us stuff that other people need. And thank you for giving us the ability to give it to them. And we are going to do our job to steward those gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.